Welcome. You are listening to Aftersight. This recording is intended solely for individuals who are blind or have low vision.
Thank you for joining us for Food and Stuff. My name is Gretchen Miller. Today we're going to start off with a little bit of information about a new cookbook celebrating the beauty of regional Mexican cooking in Mi Cocina. When we ask about his debut cookbook, Mi Cocina, Rick Martinez said, "This cookbook is a complete and true reflection of me as a human being. As longtime fans of his, we can see it clearly. Like Martinez, the book is bold, eclectic, and joyful." We typically see either cookbooks that are technique forward or cookbooks that, through the recipes, tell a story about place, people, culture, and history. Mi Cocina does both and oscillates between the two effortlessly because that's Martinez's style. He's a storyteller and a highly skilled chef. He's intuitive and methodical, and reading his book will likely bring you to tears more than once. While Mi Cocina ended up being this remarkable and nuanced rendering of self that wasn't Martinez's original intention, the shift in the national conversation around race, equity, and representation that started after the killing of George Floyd in 2020 was a catalyst for Martinez to confront the many compromises he'd had to make to succeed in food media. During this time, he also learned that while working at Bon Appetit, he'd been paid less than his white co-workers. These things changed the world and also my perception of life and what was important to me and how I had lived my professional life, he says. And this changed the trajectory of the book. It wouldn't be an easy intro to Mexican cooking, where flavor and technique are often dumbed down for weeknight-friendly iterations of complex dishes. But it wouldn't be strictly about authenticity either. In Mi Cocina, Martinez writes, "When you call something authentic, you're necessarily saying that everything else is not. Instead, the book is full of iconic Mexican dishes that Martinez tried and fell in love with on an incredible 586-day road trip across the country. His versions of these recipes serve as an homage to the places he traveled and to the people he met." "I want this book to be a teaching moment," Martinez says, "a way to expand the repertoire, teach people about the diversity of the cuisine, culture, and regionality of Mexico." And it does. Martinez has organized the book by region, so you can see how the ingredients and techniques are informed by the vast diversity of the landscape, from the Sonoran Desert to the mountainous rainforests of Veracruz and the salt marshes and coastal dunes of Baja. There are clear and approachable instructions for more involved or potentially intimidating recipes like tamales or mole that don't sacrifice flavor or tradition for the sake of ease. There are vegetarian swaps and many traditional vegetarian recipes from the plant-based diet enjoyed by the indigenous people prior to the Spanish colonization of Mexico. And the book doesn't require any expensive equipment. Martinez says he'd rather have you spend your money on a ticket to Oaxaca. We're going to have some recipes from the book, and I'm really looking forward to that. We're going to start off with, I'm going to mispronounce it, Taltequeadas. That's my best guess. Spinach and squash blossom fritters with roasted tomato and jalapeno salsa. Apologies to those who speak Spanish. One of my favorite pueblitos in Mexican is Tepoztlán in the state of Morelos, south of Mexico City. The markets are known for pre-Hispanic food, food that existed before the arrival of Spanish colonists. The Spanish brought pigs, cows, wheat, and methods for making cheese to Mexico. But before their arrival, the indigenous people had a very plant-forward diet. They ate mostly vegetables like corn, beans, squash, amaranth, chia, chiles, nuts, and flowers, as well as wild fowl and game, insects, fish, and shellfish. Crispy fried tlatecaída fritters are beautiful and flavorful. I love seeing the vendors at the market display all of the different kinds. Some were made with beets and were garnet red. Some, made with seasonal native wildflowers, were white, purple, and yellow. Others were made with quelites, different varieties of native leafy wild greens, and were emerald green. I even had one that was pink from red plums and served with a creamy nut-based sauce. Tlaltequeadas can be sweet or savory and spicy or not, depending on what is in season and what flavors you like. The fritters are held together by chia and flax meal, both of which mimic the consistency of eggs when added to a liquid. That's Martinez speaking. For this recipe, which is spinach and squash blossom fritters with roast tomato and jalapeno salsa, you're going to need 7 large Roma tomatoes, cored and left whole, 2 large chiles jalapenos, stemmed, 3/4 of large white onion, chopped, 1 clove of garlic, peeled, Morton kosher salt, 1 tablespoon of fresh lime juice, 2 tablespoons of chia seeds, 2 tablespoons of golden flax meal, 2 tablespoons of sesame seeds, 1 cup of puffed amaranth, 1/2 cup of extra virgin olive oil, plus more if necessary, and then 8 ounces of mixed wild mushrooms torn into small pieces, stemmed if using shiitakes. 2 medium carrots, shredded on the large holes of a box grater, and 1 cup of mung bean sprouts, 3 cloves of garlic, thinly sliced, 12 ounces of mature spinach torn into 1-inch pieces, 16 squash blossoms, stems, stamen, and pistils removed, and blossoms torn. This is going to make 12 fritters. First, you're going to arrange a rack in the center of the oven and preheat the oven to 475 degrees Fahrenheit. Line a sheet pan with parchment paper or foil. Then arrange the tomatoes and chiles jalapenos on the prepared pan and roast until the skin of the tomatoes and jalapenos is dark brown in places and starting to peel away from the flesh. That'll be about 30 to 35 minutes. Transfer the tomatoes and jalapenos to a blender. Add 1/4 cup of the onion, the garlic, and 1.5 teaspoons of the salt, and process until completely smooth. Transfer the roasted tomato salsa to a small bowl, stir in the lime juice, and set aside. This can be made up to 8 hours in advance. Next, in a large bowl, you're going to stir together the chia seeds, flax meal, sesame seeds, and amaranth until combined. In a large skillet, preferably cast iron over medium-high, heat 3 tablespoons of oil. Add the mushrooms and cook, without stirring, until browned for 3 to 4 minutes. Toss and continue to cook, stirring occasionally, until the mushrooms are browned on all sides and tender for 4 to 5 minutes more. Season with salt and transfer to the bowl with the chia mixture. In the same skillet, heat 1 tablespoon of oil over medium-high heat. Add the carrots, sprouts, remaining onion, garlic, and 2.5 teaspoons of salt. Cook, tossing occasionally until all the vegetables are tender for 6 to 8 minutes. Add the spinach, blossoms, and 1/4 cup of water. Bring to a boil, then reduce to a simmer. Cover and cook until the spinach is wilted and tender for about 5 minutes. Transfer the spinach mixture to the bowl with the chia mixture and stir until completely combined. Set aside for 30 minutes to set. During this time, the seeds will absorb any excess liquid and the mixture should hold its shape when squeezed. Using a large ice cream scoop or 1/4 cup measure, scoop out the tlaltequeadas mixture and form it into small patties that are about 3/4 inch thick and arrange them on a sheet pan. Wipe the skillet clean and heat the remaining 1/4 cup of oil over medium heat. Working in batches to not overcrowd the pan, fry the tlaltequeadas until deep golden brown on both sides for 4 to 5 minutes per side. Transfer to a large plate lined with paper towels. Continue to fry the remaining patties, adding more oil if necessary. Then you're going to serve the fried spinach and squash blossom fritters with a roasted tomato and jalapeno salsa, with the roasted salsa. This is reprinted from Mi Cocina. Next recipe from the same cookbook, gazpacho moreliano, which is mango, pineapple, and jicama salad with an orange lime dressing. Tip for this, you're going to serve this at picnics, barbecues, or beach days. Just dress it 5 minutes before you serve. Here's another quote from Martinez. When I started to write this headnote, my mouth began to water. West of Mexico City, in the city of Morelia, there is an area in El Centro, the historic district, near the cathedral where gazpacho, yes, it's spelled with an S, stands lying in the streets. Young men were working below each gazpacho sign, meticulously and quickly cutting not tomatoes and red bell peppers to make the famously chilled Spanish gazpacho soup with a Z, but instead mango, jicama, and pineapple into tiny and perfect cubes to make gazpacho with an S, a sweet and salty fruit snack. By midday, the streets are filled with people carrying large plastic cups mounded with tiny cut fruit and topped with chile and queso cotija. Gazpacho showcases the incredibly sweet mangoes that grow in the state, and cotija, the salty, sharp cheese that is produced there as well. My version is more like a summery side dish than a grab-and-go midday snack. Since I really don't want to spend a lot of time cubing fruit, I use larger slices. I have gazpacho so much that I pair it with everything from grilled meat to fish. For this, which serves 4 to 6, you're going to need 6 tablespoons of extra virgin olive oil, 1/4 cup of fresh lime juice, that's about 2 limes, 1 teaspoon of finely grated orange zest, 2 tablespoons of fresh orange juice, 1 clove of garlic, finely grated, 1 chile de árbol, stemmed and finely chopped, or 1/4 teaspoon of red chili flakes, 1 teaspoon of Morton kosher salt, 1 large Tommy Atkins mango, or 2 Ataulfo, A-T-A-U-L-F-O, or champagne mangoes, peeled, seeded, and thinly sliced, 1/4 of a medium pineapple peeled, cored, and sliced into 1/2-inch pieces, 1/2 of a large jicama peeled and thinly sliced, 1/4 of medium white onion, that's about 3 ounces, chopped, and 1/2 cup of fresh mint leaves. For serving, you'll need crumbled queso cotija, tagine, and lime wedges. In a large measuring cup, you're going to whisk together the oil, lime juice, orange zest, orange juice, garlic, chile de árbol, and salt until the salt has dissolved. In a large bowl, gingerly toss the mango, pineapple, jicama, onion, mint, and 1/2 of the dressing. Let sit for 5 minutes to let the flavors come together. Serve with any additional dressing drizzled over the top with a cotija, tagine, and a squeeze of lime juice. It sounds lovely and simple. Next recipe from Mi Cocina is for, again, I might apologize on the pronunciation, doing my best, chile atole verde, which is roasted vegetables in a rich corn broth made from fresh and dried corn and green chilies. Tip, this is a great way to use sweet summer corn. And here again is a quote from Martinez. Chile atole is a pre-Hispanic dish whose origin is a broth of chili thickened with nixtamalized corn, which is corn treated with sodium hydroxide, also called lime, to soften it so it can be ground into masa. Today, every region has its own style of chile atole. Some are served as soups, some as beverages, some are sweet instead of savory, some are made with meat. My version is green from fresh green chiles and similar to the one I had in Oaxaca that was served as a sauce over roasted vegetables. I use both fresh corn and instant masa to thicken and flavor the dish. To turn it into a soup, you're going to increase the amount of water and reserve 1/2 of the corn kernels to add to the blended soup at the end, and then stir in the roasted vegetables before serving. For this, which serves 4, you're going to need 2.5 pounds of summer or winter squash cut into 2-inch pieces, 1 medium head of red cabbage, cored and cut into 2-inch wedges, 1 medium white onion cut into thin wedges, 1/2 cup of extra virgin olive oil divided, Morton kosher salt, 1 medium chile poblano, stemmed, seeded, and chopped, 1 chile jalapeno, stemmed, and chopped, 1 medium tomatillo, husked, rinsed, and quartered, 3 medium scallions, root ends trimmed and chopped, 2 cloves of garlic, finely grated, 4 ears of corn, kernels cut from the cobs, cobs reserved, 3 fresh epazote sprigs or 1 fresh rosemary sprig, 1 ojo santa leaf or 1 mint sprig, 1/2 cup of harina de maíz, such as Bob's Red Mill Masa Harina. First, you're going to arrange a rack in the center of the oven and preheat to 450 degrees Fahrenheit. Line a sheet pan with parchment paper. On the prepared pan, you're going to toss the squash, cabbage, and onion with 1/4 cup of the oil. Season generously with salt. Roast, tossing occasionally until tender and browned, for about 40 to 45 minutes. Meanwhile, in a large heavy pot over medium-high heat, heat the remaining 1/4 cup of oil. Add the chili poblano, chili jalapeno, tomatillo, scallions, garlic, and 1 tablespoon of kosher salt. And cook, stirring occasionally until tender and just beginning to brown, for about 5 to 6 minutes. Add the corn and cook, stirring until the corn is tender, for about 7 minutes. Add 6 cups of water, the reserved cobs, because there's a lot of flavor in the cobs, epazote and ojo santa, or the alternatives, and bring to a boil. Reduce the heat to medium-low and simmer until the vegetables are tender and the flavors have come together. That's about 30 minutes. Remove the cobs and compost them, ideally. Transfer the chile mixture to a blender and carefully blend until completely smooth. Return the blended mixture to the same pot and bring to a boil over medium-high heat. Whisk in the masa harina, whisking constantly until incorporated and no lumps remain, and then cook, stirring occasionally until thickened to the consistency of a cream gravy, for about 5 minutes. If the chile atole is too thick, whisk in more water, 1/4 cup at a time until that consistency is achieved, and then season with salt. Divide the chile atole verde among bowls and top with the roasted vegetables. For our next recipe, artichoke, cranberry bean, and arugula salad. Sometimes I'm worried that I might be boring you guys. This is from Smitten Kitchen, by the way. Yes, being plagued by feelings of dullness and inadequacy, how very tired of me. But let's take some of the themes we have here. Artichokes, beans, arugula, salad, bread, and the most repetitive one of all. I ate something somewhere and I had to have it again ASAP, so I tried to make it myself. Well, today we've got them all bundled into one. I try to say to myself, Deb, not everyone is infatuated by artichokes, arugula, beans, and salads, and every single way you think of eating them separately or altogether. I try to rationalize, although it's not my strong suit. But then I imagine a world without people who get as excited as I do about artichokes, arugula, beans, and it makes me terrifically sad. Thus, today I present to you artichoke, cranberry bean, and arugula salad, or seriously, the best thing I've gotten to eat twice in a week in way too long. We went out to dinner at the Really You Must Go There Dressler in Williamsburg on Saturday night with our most newly married friends. Alex and Steve had leaden cocktails, and I did that thing where you do with your married female friends where you make sure they've ordered something with alcohol, or you'll start with the irresponsible rumor mongering. Oh, I know, this is because it happens to me like every freaking day, and people, there's always wine in my hand. We're all caught up now. Okay, onwards then. I wasn't kidding the 16 times I've mentioned in the past that I am A, obsessed with artichokes, B, that they're my favorite food on the earth, And that C, I will order pretty much anything on a menu that involves even a smidgen of them. Thus, when I saw that there was a salad comprised of an artichoke, cranberry beans, and arugula, I briefly wondered if I could just order one for an appetizer and run off into the sunset with another. I controlled my desires, mostly, difficult as it was. The salad was dreamy, and I did my best not to moan audibly as I consumed, and seriously, why had I not thought of this before? I fixed this last night. It was just my luck, really, after I'd whimpered and cried last week over the immaculate beauty of the artichokes that Matt Bites had photographs. Why did my artichokes never ever look like that? Why must I live on the wrong coast to truly be their number one fan? And then last night at the store, there they were, perfectly round and flawless, leafy orbs, looking especially pert after a 3,000-mile-plus trek. Clearly, this was a sign. Now, I know preparing artichokes can be a little intimidating, and this dish had the extra twist of trimming them into a bowl shape, which I will try to make as simple as possible for you to try yourself. Once you've gotten this done and boiled them for about a half hour, you're home free. I use some fancy-schmancy Italian imported cranberry beans from a jar. Their plumpness adds a terrific texture to this dish, but go ahead and use the bean of your choice. The dressing could not be simpler, as it is a thinned-out version of the dipping sauce my mother always made when she cooked whole artichokes, and my absolute favorite flavor pairing with them. Toss the beans with it and fill the artichoke cavity, toss the arugula with it and spread it about, and that's it. Here's the recipe. Artichoke, cranberry bean, and arugula salad. You want two of the largest, most globe-like artichokes that you can find. Two lemons, a few cloves of garlic, smashed but left in their skins, one can of cranberry beans, rinsed and drained, a bundle of fresh arugula, washed and dried, and 2 to 3 tablespoons of mayonnaise and salt and pepper to taste. To prepare your artichokes, you're going to peel the toughest, smallest, and greenest outer leaves off and discard them. Once you reach the first of the yellow leaves, I personally haven't seen yellow leaves, so I'm going to just add that in there, but of moderate thickness, you're good. Leaving 1/2 to 1 full inch of the yellow or softer leaves attached to the stem, cut the remainder off in one clean cut. Now start scooping. With a small paring knife and a small spoon, a grapefruit one works great here, you'll want to remove all of the spindly inner leaves as well as all of the furry choke while creating a bowl shape using those truncated leaves, side leaves. Let's say this again. While creating a bowl shape using those truncated yellow leaves as sides, rub 1/2 lemon over every cut surface so it doesn't brown. Be generous with that. Now, as carefully as you can, peel all of the dark green skin from the stem, again, rubbing each cut surface with 1/2 lemon. Trim the stem down to 1 inch or less, making sure that it's flat and that when turned upside down, the artichoke can balance on the surface, again, coating the surface with lemon. Repeat this process for the second artichoke. I know this sounds a little confusing. What I'm seeing in the picture is a bowl shape that has the artichoke parts left, so the leaves have been cut off and you're kind of down to the meat of the artichoke and the heart, and the side leaves make the size of the bowl, but there's, you can see the meat in the bowl itself. So it's a little tricky, but you can do it. I have faith. You're going to do the same process with the second artichoke. Then you're going to bring a large pot of water to boil, adding a few glugs of plain vinegar, those garlic cloves and the lemons you'd use to coat the artichokes, first squeezing any remaining juice into the pot. And if you have any old white wine, it's an excellent flavor to impart in the artichokes. Boil the bowl-shaped artichokes for about 25 to 35 minutes until they can be pierced easily with a fork. Drain them and set them aside. To make your dressing, you're going to whisk the mayo with the juice of a lemon. You want thin dressing and season it with salt and pepper. Then assemble the salad by turning each artichoke upside down on a plate so it stands on its truncated stem. Toss about 1/2 to 2/3 of the cup of beans with a spoonful or two of the dressing and fill the artichoke cavity with them. Toss the arugula with more dressing, arrange it over and around the artichoke, season with salt and pepper, and leave the extra dressing near, as you'll probably want more for your artichoke, and then eat with vigor. Thank you for joining us for Food and Stuff. My name is Gretchen Miller.
If you enjoyed this program, please register for our free services at www.aftersight.org or by calling 303-786-7777.